The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 5 at 5.
All right, let's go. Top 5 at 5, quitting time on your Monday afternoon edition of the show. Russell, Bear, and Jake cruise along with you here in your Truly Hard Seltzer studios. Top 5 at 5 this afternoon brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Schedule your free smile makeover. Free consultation, as always, at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Jake?
Number 1, Jordan Bowden scored 19 of his career-high 26 points in the second half last week against Murray State, helping Tennessee rally from down 12 points and run away with an 82-63 win. Then on Saturday in Toronto, the senior point guard stayed hot, scoring 15 of his 18 while helping lead the Vols to a nearly wire-to-wire win over then-number 20 Washington 75-62 in the James Naismith Classic at Scotiabank Arena. And today he was rewarded for both efforts, being named the Player of the Week by the Southeastern Conference. He needs just 5 points Wednesday against Alabama State to join the Tennessee 1,000-point club.
Russ, I'm going to go ahead and tell you now, next spring I'm going to have a really hard time processing the graduation of Jordan Bowden. Not going to handle it well.
I took some heat on these airwaves from y'all. And
from me? About who?
From Reed and Houston and everybody. A couple of years ago, I had a hot take.
I think I agreed with it.
And
Russell,
I said that Jordan Bowden could be the next Juwan Smith. Made that comparison.
I think he'd be better than Juwan.
Well, I think that, you know, at the time, people ridiculed me because Juwan Smith is kind of like a local folk hero, and he was a great player, but I just saw some similarities. And I do think it, you know, people are going to love Jordan Bowden in their own way. Probably, Juwan, probably in hindsight and in, you know, current sight, is not a great comparison. He's
totally different players.
Totally. I mean, there's some similarities, but like Jordan Bowden's just his own guy, man. He's not as good putting the ball on the floor as Juwan was. Probably not as good with the ball in his hands. Juwan was a streakier shooter. I think Jordan's probably got a better shot. He's longer. Yeah. And I think he's going to have – I think he's got more pro potential right now.
Oh, for sure he does.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah. But Juwan – now, I'll tell you what Jordan could do if he had just a little smidgen of the swag that Juwan played with, where he's trash-talking Donovan.
Juwan had that killer attitude, that, like, just cutthroat streak in him.
Yeah. I mean, if you had other head coaches –
not a little more passive. Lets the game come to him a little bit more.
Yeah, it would stun me if like an opposing coach hated Jordan Bowden.
There were times in the game Saturday when I was just like, man, like shoot it, Bowden, shoot it. Like I think he took what, 4 or 5 threes. He'd take 10, and I'd be fine with that.
Yeah,
I think he hit 6 or 7 of them.
Yeah, I mean,
I wish he would be more aggressive.
I was in on your take from the beginning. I think I amplified it last year. I thought he was the most explosive player on the team when he was on. His biggest problem, and hopefully he'll overcome it this year, is consistency.
Number 2, Cleveland coach Freddie Kitchens said today that the Browns will continue to support suspended defensive end Myles Garrett while also not excusing Garrett for his actions Thursday against Pittsburgh. Myles Garrett's a good person, Kitchens said. We're not going to pile on Myles. He had a bad lapse in judgment, and that's it. I'm still a Myles fan, and I'm going to support him. Our organization is going to support him. His teammates, coaching staff will support him. There's no excuse for that to happen on a football field, Kitchens said. I know that. Myles knows that, and all the players in the locker room know that. That's it. There's no excuse. But in saying that, we're going to support Myles Garrett going forward in any way that he needs support. So it's good to know that he's got his coach in his back pocket, unlike his quarterback.
Ooh. Salty from Jake. Yeah, I mean, what are you expecting to say?
It's just,
I mean, I would have thought less of
like,
him.
Listen,
he had,
my world is collapsing around me. He's already gone for the rest of the season. Like, what good does it do to find him and pile on him?
I do think he's got a legitimate argument for the appeal.
He said he wants to appear in person for the appeal, and so he's going to suit up and go to court for himself.
Well, I mean, there's definitely film of Mason Rudolph kicking him in the crotch, not once but twice. Not excusing him trying to, you know, kill him with the helmet, but I think it should be a mitigating factor.
How mitigating?
I wouldn't keep him out till next year.
I would. I think you gotta stand by it, man. I don't think you can flip-flop on this. Like, I mean, last week, and when, you know, we're less than 24 hours out and emotions are running hot and everybody's hot taking this to death, I mean, we're talking about, you know, through the end of the year is not enough. You really got to send a message here and say this is not okay. Like, he could have been killed. Like, we got to make sure this never happens again, and you suspend him for the first four games of next year, too. I think you let it run through the end of the season.
Yeah, and then just let him be done with it. Suspension ends at the end of the Browns season.
It's kind of what I would say.
Yeah. That's what I meant by – I guess that's what I meant by mitigating it. Just be done with it.
Number three, BYU. Head football coach Kalani Sitake received a contract extension through the 2023 season. The school announced today. Sitake, who is 26-23 in four seasons at his alma mater, had been under contract through 2020. And athletic director Tom Holmo indicated an extension was coming in the locker room after Saturday's win over Idaho State, which made BYU bowl eligible. "This is your coach, right?" Almost told the team in a video posted on social media. "He's my coach, and now he's our coach."
Okay.
Apparently he made a t-shirt, or the team made t-shirts saying "Extend Sitake," and Holmo bought one himself.
Extend Sitake, like the players are that? That's really like weird.
They just love him.
I mean, he's a likable enough guy. Like, I would be... I mean, they have to know in their heart of hearts they got lucky to beat us. Like, I'm not trying to diminish their accomplishment. They came in here and
they
took it.
They got lucky as hell.
They took it from us.
Taylor had a brain cramp.
They get the win, but they were lucky. I think we all agree. So, really, they should be 5-5. Their best win this year is against USC by 3 points. They did beat Boise State. I don't know. That's a weird – I mean, I'm just – that. It's strange. They shouldn't have lost to South Florida.
It's like every good win they have is paired with a bad loss.
Yeah.
It's kind of how his deals run up there, though.
I wonder if he'll still be there when we make our return trip up there.
Through 2023 contract, so.
Should be a fun road trip.
Number four, if you watched the Georgia-Auburn game on Saturday, you may have seen the Georgia photographer that briefly lost consciousness after she was hit on the sideline.
Briefly? She was out cold for like 10 minutes.
Carried her off on a stretcher like a slab of meat.
So she was out. She was out for about a minute and a half, and then they got her to respond. She was hit on the sideline of Jordan-Hare Stadium during the game, and her name was Chamberlain Smith. She was unresponsive for a few moments following a hit by Bulldogs running back Brian Harrion. She eventually opened her eyes and responded to emergency personnel before being placed on a stretcher and removed from the field. She was discharged from a local hospital later Saturday night and tweeted on Sunday morning her injuries were nothing more than a concussion and some bruises. But what I want to get your take on is, did you hear Gary Danielson's comments?
Yeah, it's not a good look.
No, and I don't think... And normally I wouldn't take up for Gary because it's pretty well known that sometimes he makes me mad enough where I'd like to hit him in the head with a hammer.
I love Gary.
But
big Gary guy. It's a bad look for him, though.
Oh, it's a horrible look. Horrible.
The people don't know, like, he was kind of chuckling about it. Like, Gary Danielson was highly amused by the collision. Like, I'm sitting there looking like, hey, there's a dead body. Oh. That person is no longer living.
Because who was it from Georgia that trucked?
Head on a
swivel. It was Brian Harrion. He said, "Britt gets up. He's fine. Harrion's fine. The person Harrion ran into is not," and laughed.
Because Harrion's like what? Like 6'2", 230? Probably.
I mean, he's a Georgia running back. He's going to be
we're
power rusher.
Yeah. We just truck some poor girl photographer who probably, I mean, yeah, I imagine that it was hard to tell, like, because he wasn't going full
speed.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It looked like there was
that camera got caught up in all of it,
yeah,
too.
There's a shot that I think Getty Images or like the AP published where she is catching the knee to the camera that goes straight into her face.
Which probably softened the blow.
No.
I don't know.
No.
The lens went flying into the hedges.
Getting hit with – I mean, I don't know. I mean, at that point, it's just a matter of semantics.
I'm not saying it's comfortable,
Harrion,
but like
rammed his knee into her camera and then got slammed into her face.
Let me ask you something. Would you rather take a knee from Brian Harrion running full speed or get whacked on the head by a helmet by Myles Garrett. All right,
hold on. I guess you got to go with the
helmet. Repeat that one more time.
Would you rather take a knee full speed from Brian Herrien on the sideline
mm-hmm.
or get whacked in the head with a helmet by Myles Garrett?
Is it going to hit me the same way he hit Rudolph
yeah.
from the Steelers? Yeah. I'd go with Myles Garrett. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't imagine the force that Brian Herrien's knee would slam into your face with. I don't imagine it would feel good.
But you also have to take into consideration who got hit in this. Like, you know, little 120-pound female photographer versus a over 200-pound quarterback who's in the fight. Like, his body's clenched up. Like, and you can kind of see, like, he saw it coming. Like, he kind of flinched at the last minute. Like, this
dude, that thing sunk his head down about 3 inches when
Astros thought an off-speed pitch was coming when it hit coming. His head.
Like, I'm just saying, if you reverse the situations, like Mason Rudolph probably didn't get knocked out on the sideline, and she might die. Like, if Myles Garrett hits that girl over the head with the helmet,
yeah, but
she might be dead.
I mean, Russell, how many times have we seen guys get take a knee to the head and then they can't play, and that's with a helmet on. They get a severe concussion.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, like, if there's a difference in – there's just a difference, man, between football play, a grown man professional football player, and how old is he, like 21, 22? Student photographer, female.
Yeah, so she's a student at UGA, so probably in her 20s.
She's just inherently more fragile.
So you're saying you could take it better than she did?
Not really. Russell Herrien would have killed Russell. He would have killed me. Probably would have put you into like some kind of coma, but the two of us would have been in a vegetative state.
It's my youth coming into play.
Yeah, it's the only thing that would have saved you.
On to number five. According to a report, Rick Barnes said today that the Tennessee-Memphis basketball series is unlikely to continue after the current series concludes with next season's matchup in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena.
It's going to be an interesting handshake between Penny and Barnes. Like, I have no doubt Barnes will try and, you know, charm and smooth things over and just, you know, be polite.
He'll try and make it like it's any other game.
But how is
gone?
Well, I mean, you saw him pre-game with Mike Hopkins. Like, I thought they were about to start making out over there on the sideline. Like, it was a loving embrace.
Unlike Penny, almost like universally, Rick Barnes is beloved and looked up to as a giant in the industry.
Did you see him preaching at some church in Farragut yesterday?
Yep. Who, Deacon?
Of course. He was up on the stage giving a testimony.
Testifying. Got some witnesses out there.
My coach.
The Deacon, man. He's a good guy. I'd like to see that whole video, see his whole talk. That is the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. We appreciate Knoxville Smiles stepping up and sponsoring the show. And at Knoxville Smiles, you're going to be treated as more than just a customer. Their team is going to work with you as an individual to develop a game plan that puts or keeps you on the road to optimal oral health, function, and appearance. Dr. Steve Malone, Dr. Michael Costa, Knoxville Smiles can fix your teeth so that your smile shines bright no matter how the Vols are doing. And right now, they're doing pretty well, so a lot of beautiful smiles out there. Set up your free, no-risk consultation today at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. That's KnoxvilleSmiles.com, creating beautiful smiles, one relationship at a time. Let's get Big Josh in here. Big Josh, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Russell.
Yes.
Hey, what are you and Baseball Jake and the Bear doing this season?
Maybe watching some Monday Night Football. I'll probably go home and binge the rest of this Les Miles series.
There's not really any basketball on that's noteworthy.
Monday Night Football.
Celtics played tonight. I might turn that on. Hey,
who do Grant and the boys have?
Do what now?
Who do Grant and the boys have?
I just looked at it, man. I'm getting old, Russ.
Go Celtics. Turn
memories. Cleveland, I know they play. Hey, do you think that not playing Memphis, I think kind of feel a little soft? I mean, that game's fun as hell, man.
Yeah, it sucks.
Keep it going.
I just don't think at this point, we don't need it as much as we used to. And number two, Hardaway's just been so disrespectful and made it kind of nasty and ugly when it didn't need to be.
Right, but that's what makes it so fun.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Big Josh. I wish Fulmer would just step in and schedule the series anyway. I guess Barnes has kind of earned the right to control his stuff, but it's a shame, man, because you talk about heat, and you remember how it was when Pearl and Calipari were going at each other, and this is every bit as animosity laden as that rivalry was.
Yeah, it's always good, some of the best games of the year, some of the best memories, it seems like, looking back on. But man, Barnes, I have to give you credit, Russ. I didn't expect nothing from this team. And, they look like a real team, man. The only thing that worries me is it's kind of like Snicker in baseball. He runs his guys in the ground. He never, he never gives them days off. And if we don't find some depth on this team, I'm afraid that's what's going to happen to again, we're going to be playing our worst at the end of the year.
I'm much more like it really does. I think our guards can run all day. It doesn't worry me about Turner and Bowden. It worries me about Fulkerson because he's shown himself to be injury prone. And I think he is. We've already seen it. He's such a key, and he's not a dominant player by any stretch of the imagination, but he's just very serviceable, and we don't have anybody else without Urosh.
I'm afraid Lamonte may be hurt already. Yeah. The guy's not, he can't throw it in the ocean right now, but, I never thought he would be a 9-assist tonight point guard, but, he's...
That might just be who he is.
Yeah, well, I'm fine with
this year anyway.
Because it's great. I think that it helps the team overall when he's not forcing up shots.
I was just going to say, I think it's good for the team if he comes out and does the pass-first kind of mentality, and if Eve Pons can continue putting up 16 points a game while Turner does the pass-first thing, then he fits into the point guard role well, and Pons can be turned into a scorer, then Lamonte can go off maybe when you need him to. And if you've got Pons to back you up, then that's a good fallback option for Tennessee.
If his shoulder's okay, Because when he struggles with – he was like 2 for 11 or 2 for 12. I don't know what it was at one point there. But I don't know. But, this team's playing good, Russ. I don't see why, they can't be in the upper part of the –
I've seen
again.
Nothing from the SEC or brethren around the league to indicate that we cannot compete at the very top of this conference. That includes Kentucky and Florida and whoever else. I think we look better than them, quite frankly. Josh, we got to run, man.
All right, see you guys. Y'all hang in there.
Hey, thanks, man. Enjoy it. Stay with us. The Drive rages on right here on Fan Run Radio.
Mama told you there'd be shows like this. This is The Drive.
The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Portions of our show brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank. They are the official bank of The Drive. Bank local. Simplify your life by turning to CNB for all your personal banking needs. They've got a variety of checking and savings options, plus chip-enabled debit and credit cards right here in your community to help you safely and securely manage your everyday cash flow and build your rainy day savings. It's Citizens National Bank online at cnbtn.com. Let's get a phone call from Marcus. Good afternoon, Marcus. You're on The Drive.
How's it going, fellas?
Hey, man. It's going well. Thanks.
Not only did Gary Danielson laugh and chuckle about what happened, but I'm pretty sure while she was being put on the stretcher, he asked Brad, do you think she got the shot?
He did.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Well, did she?
I would like to see what the pictures off her camera look like.
She's fine now, right? So we can kind of...
Yeah, she's resting comfortably at home for the next week.
Sure, but, at the time, that's kind of a thing that I don't think while she's been put on the stretcher, that's kind of the thing I don't think you want to ask. but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, you're right.
It's, like, we can kind. It's kind of funny. Maybe I'm just a sick.
No, I mean, I can see how the drive. I mean,
hold on. I'm saying it's kind of funny now, but at the time, and when you're Gary Danielson on CBS, no, you can't say that. You can't laugh. That's insane.
Oh, Gary. I was going to ask you guys. Obviously, it was a pretty great win for the Vols basketball, and pretty sweet seeing them jump to 20, taking the 20 spot from Washington. Does this game give you guys more confidence about where this team heads? Should we tamper our expectations after this win? Do we not want to get too excited? Or how do you guys feel after this game?
After the Washington win, I feel good, man. Like I'm not penciling in Final Four reservations or anything like that. But it's like my expectations dipped a little bit after the UNC Asheville game. I was like, oh man, I don't know. Maybe I was expecting too much. But after you saw the second half against Murray State and the whole game,
just seems like it's more the same. I mean,
that feels like we're just going to kind of keep on rolling.
Yeah. I mean, are we going to be as good as last year's team? Probably not this year right now. I mean, we lost a lot, but it wouldn't surprise me if these guys end up just performing at a super high level, though.
A very wise man once said, Bear, keep rolling, rolling, rolling. What? Come on. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. I believe that was Fred Durst, the philosopher of our times from Limp Bizkit.
Oh, I thought that was an old Greek saying. I didn't know that was...
Yeah, Plato, Fred Durst. I mean, you know, who's keeping track?
I'd really like to see how this team does against SEC play. I still think Rick Barnes has this weird magic against Kentucky that I think we can get a win against them. And I'd really like to see them in SEC play. I think that could be a good gauge for us. I know obviously Washington's not, obviously they're ranked 20 for a reason, and I know we got Florida State coming up, and so we still have some good games to kind of test where we are, but I think to really get a good idea, I think it's going to come down to conference play to figure out, is this team going to be a team that can, you know, maybe unexpectedly make the Sweet 16, or are they going to be a team that, you know, struggles in the tournament? I think conference play is going to be key for us.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's so much dependent on like your draw and what seed you are and who's in your bracket and all that stuff. It's kind of a crapshoot. But barring disaster, like we have two major injuries or something, you know, we're going to the tournament. I think we're going to compete for the conference regular season championship. I really do, and I think we're going to be there. And depending on the draw, I think we can be at least in the second weekend again.
I think it's going to be interesting. I love what Rick Barnes has done, and I think if he continues to recruit the way he has, I think we're going to be a pretty decent program the next few years. I'm really excited to see where this team goes. So, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Good call, Marcus. Appreciate it. Jamie is next on the drive. Hello, Jamie.
I don't understand it. You've got something that both fan bases really like, and you're just going to snatch it away from him, huh? Why would Rick Barnes do that?
Because he ain't got time for petty penny.
So even though that's what people want to see, it's good for college basketball, it's good for your fan base, to hell with all that.
He's not going to – I don't know, man. I haven't talked to him about it, but I'm just guessing, like I said, he doesn't have time for it. Like he's going to deal with people he likes and that he thinks are on the up and up and not, you know – spoiled brats who want to tarnish his team's reputation and tell lies, go out there and spread lies about you.
Russ, if you're being fair, and Barry, you can chime in. Are you just saying that? It sounds like that doesn't line up with your normal logic. Are you just saying that because that's what Rick Barnes has done? And you kind of got to.
I don't say that because
wait just a minute. Penny Hardaway, are you accusing Russ of being a mouthpiece for Coach Rick Barnes? That's what it sounds like to me, Jamie.
No, I'm just looking at the facts of this issue. I mean, let's revisit real quickly here because it's been a while and I might be misremembering. But as I recall, we go down there and beat them. They played us tough last year. We beat them. And he comes out afterwards and says that basically our guys came out there off the bench looking to fight.
Even though was the one who shoved one of our players.
Yeah, which is demonstrably false. And then I can't even remember what he said. He popped off about Barnes the next week, like in the press, like just doubled down on stupid. And I think Barnes is just like, you know what? We're good. We don't need it. And I'm with you. Like, I wish the series would continue. I really do. But
I don't think he'll be there that long, Jamie. I think that Barnes will beat UT longer than Hardaway's at Memphis.
Well, it's just another way, you know, it's a marquee game to look forward to. You know,
no, I mean, I got you, but that's not Barnes' fault, and it's not our fault. I mean, if you want to blame somebody, blame – no, you can't get mad at Barnes because he doesn't want to do business with somebody that's, A, popping off and telling lies about him, and B, is, you know, I mean, Penny's barely a year into his tenure out there, and, I mean, he's already embroiled in a huge controversy with the NCAA. He's got a player going to court and filing injunctions and – you know, for a kid kid that he basically bought for his AAU team. I've got to look it up. Somebody wrote a really good article. I'm hoping they're not on our list because it was a really good article. And the whole point of it, Jamie, was that it shouldn't be Wiseman that's being ruled ineligible. It should be Penny. Well, he's the one that should be suspended.
It's a really
good
point.
I'll believe it when I see it as far as the teeth of the NCAA on anything. I mean – lately, the last couple of years has just kind of, solidified. Here they have the FBI get involved, just screaming, we're going to bring it all down. They hadn't done a damn thing yet. The mayor said he wanted to get my prediction on the football on the football game this weekend. I'm honored to give it. Guys, there's a lot of factors going on this. You know, like you said, you're reading those tweets. They're not too happy. You know, he might be dead man walking. You know, we've definitely know what a football team is capable of doing when you don't believe in your coach. So, you know, but then again, that's, you know, they're at home. I don't know. I tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee went there and handled business and just kept playing the way they have been playing. That's what I kind of expect us to do, is continue pushing, you know, maybe slightly improving.
Just grind it out.
Doing the last few.
Strangely measured, nuanced, composed take from you, Jamie.
I mean, he's got me right there wanting to, you know, to be like full bore Jeremy Pruitt. But, you know, you take a look at recruiting, and, you know, it's, next year is the year, whether it's fair or not, he's going to have to make a movement. He's going to have to do something.
Sure.
And I don't think that schedule is going to be kind to him. And I think it's going to put him in a position where Georgia State and BYU comes back and bites him in the ass in year three.
He needs to go at least 8-4 next year.
If not 9-3.
He'll be
shown the door.
Is fine. I don't know if he's shown the door, but if he doesn't win at least 8 regular season games next season,
he'd be trending down.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you put it like that, Russ, but at the end of the day, it's what does he do against Georgia, Florida, and Alabama, or the East in general? At the end of the day, he's got to be able to, hey, you know, to find a way to twist the numbers to his own benefit next year, whether it's, you know, like Butch was able to do. Hey, look at that. I got us a belt bowl.
I guarantee if he wins out, if I were him, I would say to everybody, did anybody really think that we were going to finish third in the East this year? I didn't.
No,
that's good. You know, that is something positive going forward. I just, here I am seeing, you know, signs out of him that I didn't see out of Butch or Dooley as far as competent football play on the field. You know, the competition hadn't been that much these last few weeks. But that didn't really matter for Butch or Derek Dooley. You know, they could lose to the best of them. They could lose to the worst of them. I appreciate it certainly doesn't look like Pruitt's mailing it in like he did at the beginning of the year. So for his sake and our fan base, I just hope that he has to win out for him to be the guy that's going to get us anywhere. You know, I'm under the firm belief that if he's the guy to get us somewhere, he don't lose to this horrible Missouri team.
Let's go, man. Let's go up there and beat these clowns, man. They suck. They're Missouri. They don't belong in our league. They hate their coach. They can't play, dude.
They if just want to roll over and die, and it's time for us to
go up there and there. Go up there and do it, man. Go up there and get it done. Thanks, Jamie. Appreciate you. Stay with us. It's The Drive Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.
Back to The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville. Knoxville.
So let's revisit the Penny Hardaway the week after
the timeline.
We beat them.
Yeah. Okay.
So he has a. We beat them on a. Was it a Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
We beat him on Saturday. He has a press conference the next Tuesday. They ask him, "Do you regret what you said about the scuffle at the end?" Here's the direct quote. "No. Come on, man. Honestly, if you just watch the film, I'm not making anything up. We even had it on the phone. I don't know who Rick Barnes thinks I am, but I'm not a dude that likes to mess around about anything. I just call it like I see it, no matter how he's trying to make things seem, and I think it's kind of low class how he's trying to downgrade my guys for flopping and all that. Man, come on, give me a break." As a coach, you're going to try to teach charges. You're going to try to teach to be smart. We were smaller. They played a physical game, and we knew that, and the calls just didn't go our way. As far as flopping, that's not something that we teach. We don't even understand that term, but he seems to be focusing on the wrong thing, man. He's blessed to have the number three team in the country, and he should be happy with that, and we will see each other again in the future for sure.
He's just a big giant crybaby.
What did you hear about their reactions? I didn't. Not until now, because I just told the referee that the player ran over there. The guy that was on the bench ran over to our side, and he balled up his fist and asked our guys pretty much.
That's not even a complete sentence.
It's a direct quote. Oh, he asked our guys pretty much what was up, like he wanted to fight.
Who is that, supposedly?
I'm watching it right now. It's Jordan Bone. And the only person that touches anyone is Penny Hardaway pushes Jordan Bone away from his bench.
And it's not even – Bone was walking away already.
Maybe push is a strong word, but he puts his hand on his back.
He gave him an extra shove. What we call it, a chuck. Go ahead.
So I didn't say it was the starters. I didn't say it was the guys that were on the floor. But if you look at the film, he will definitely eat those words, you know, because it's on film.
Yeah, that's not what the film showed, Penny. Anthony.
Question, you don't talk in coach speak. Why is that? Quote, I don't have to when a coach disrespects my team. I'm going to stay respectful as long as I have to, but Rick Barnes is doing a little bit too much. He really is. Does this add to the rivalry? Oh, absolutely it does. I think it's more something that on the page of maybe the recruiting that we have to do in state. Maybe he wants to get the upper hand on me or whatever. I have no complaints about anything else. I just call it like I saw it. And the comments that he made about my team when it comes to flopping and all that, that's low class. I would never do that to another team.
I don't blame Barnes at all for.
And then after the media session was done, Penny said, quote, Rick Barnes, get the bleep out of here.
H or F?
It just says expletive.
I believe it was F.
I imagine it would be F, right? H, you would just go ahead and you write that. This guy. This flipping guy. Penny Hardaway.
I mean, how are you going to tell Rick Barnes that? I mean, there's a lot of people you get away with telling that.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Because here's Penny Hardaway. Did he grow up in Memphis? Like single parent, couldn't pay the electrical bill. Like he was Prop 48. Like just hard scrabble. But like this guy should be tough as nail. And to be such a,
he's soft.
Exactly. I can't say what I want to say. To be such a, you know what I want to say about it is it doesn't seem right for a guy with his background.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're trying to say, and he is.
A wuss. Yeah. To be such a wuss, such a wussy, if you will. Oh, man, I hope we spank them. Can't lose that game, dude. We just can't. I can't let that dude lord one over us. Play.
That kid's a freak.
So, yes, he did grow up in Memphis in the Binghamton neighborhood.
Binghamton.
Well, it's like Binghamton, okay, but it has a P in it, like Binghamton. I don't know.
Wonder where that's at.
It'll be interesting, right? And we get them here this year. You gotta protect your home court against them. And then next year, we'll be all freshmen and sophomores too, right? I guess we'll have Pons and Fulkerson as like a steadying force, but we'll have, I mean, those three freshmen are gonna play. Josiah's gonna play.
Oh yeah,
we think Josiah comes back, weird man. You think we get Josiah for 2 years or like?
Ask me again at the Christmas break. Yeah,
that's probably. I mean, God, man, he shows like when he flashes, like when he stole that ball at the beginning of the second half, and then just kind of like silky, just like moved into the lane and like jumped up on the guy, left handed off. I know he's left handed.
I didn't have ESPN Plus. I didn't get to see it.
Oh, you haven't seen the game?
No, I just listened to the silky. It's on smooth, YouTube.
Somebody put it on YouTube last night.
Vocals of one.
You can go watch it on YouTube.
I made a night. Kessling and Bert. Bertelkamp. Money.
And he had a awesome dunk at the end of the first half. Man, he's going to be good.
How far was Pons as high up as they said?
On his block?
The block. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the guy. Because
Bert and Bob describe it, he was like, his waist was at the rim.
Well, the guy, yeah, the dude was Jay-Z's nephew,
and he was really going up from. Yeah.
He's driving the lane, and he goes up high, and you're like oh, middle man, this of the lane, nasty. Yeah. And then Pons like out of nowhere, just
Air France took flight. Out. What's that kid's name?
Isaiah Carter.
I had no idea that was Jay-Z's nephew. Is that one of the kids that's supposedly going to be a lottery? I mean, they had two kids that are supposedly NBA players.
We gave them 99 problems Saturday. That's a Jay-Z song, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Hope I didn't follow myself there.
Whitest man in America, Russell Smith.
I think that if you're Tennessee, it's not going to set our program back any. If the Memphis series goes away. And I don't know if it sets their program back any, but the college basketball fan in general loses out because this rivalry is getting set to be what it was when it was Pearl and Calipari.
Incendiary.
Incendiary, two fan bases that don't like each other, two teams that don't like each other, two coaches that don't like each other.
Civil war within
the state. And two teams that are always going to be two of the top teams in the country, two of the top 25, if not top 10 teams in the country. And so I wish that Rick Barnes would reconsider, but I don't know that Penny would reconsider either. It might be one of those mutual things, like the dude, they just don't like talking to each other.
Hmm.
And it's not like football where you schedule the non-conference games 10 years in advance. Like you schedule it on a year-to-year basis, and usually it's the coaches calling each other up and scheduling. That's how the rivalry got, that's how the game got started again, is because Barnes was friends with Tubby. They really like each other. And so they started they're the ones that signed the deal. And then Tubby got fired and Penny came in. But like if it hadn't been for Tubby Smith, we wouldn't be playing them last year or this year.
No, huh? But you know that pissed Penny off. And Barnes, but was it back in the summer? Some reporter asked him about the state of basketball in Tennessee, and he was going on and on about Steve Forbes at ETSU, Stackhouse at Vanderbilt.
Penny hasn't done anything.
Every
man.
Coach in the state, but Penny in Memphis.
Like I'm glad he was such a great player. I'm glad that he had the commercials and Tyra Banks was in it and whatever. But he hasn't done anything
besides
at the college level,
huh?
Except buy some players, and he hadn't done anything with them yet. And so, like, maybe if he goes to the tournament and wins a game or two this year, maybe he can be mentioned in the same breath as Rick Barnes and Steve Forbes. But until then,
he's going to be mentioned in the same breath as Rick Barnes this year. He's going to have to do it for, like, 30 years and put,
I
know. But, I mean, Barnes has put, 26, 27 guys in the NBA? He's got a Final Four? He's resurrected Tennessee from the ashes?
Penny Softaway.
What a clown.
Get the heck out of here. Looking forward to the turkey drop, folks. Coming up Wednesday, one of my favorite days of the year here on The Drive. We appreciate OEB Law sponsoring the turkey drop this year. It's Wednesday. We give away, I'm getting over 100 turkeys this year, so we might have some leftovers. I don't know. Last year we did it at Corner 16. We showed up and there were people waiting on us and they were gone within an hour. So we're going to have a lot more turkeys this year. So come on out to Turkey Creek and get it. Turkey Creek, Smoky Mountain Brewery, 3 to 6. And if we have any leftover turkeys, really cool thing OEB is doing is we're going to take them over to the Love Kitchen to give them to those in need, which is really the whole point anyway. So, that's going to be super cool. But you don't have to be in need to get a turkey. We just want to do this for audience and folks who want a free bird. So come on down there. It'll be a $6 burger day Wednesday at Smoky Mountain Brewery. Get yourself a Cold Mountain Light, Cherokee Red. Hang out, listen to The Drive, and get the bird. 9th annual OEB Law Turkey Drop coming up Wednesday from 3 to 6 at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200, your number to get on board. Back to wrap things up after this. The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
The unimaginable. The Drive.
Talking during the break. It's probably a good thing that Barnes was there last year and that we have so many Boy Scouts in our team, which is, again, that's the thing that's so absurd about Penny Softaway's comments is that we have, like, a bunch of nerds on our team that play board games on the road trips and, like,
yeah, I mean, there's only a couple. I think, ticket. Like, Lamonte and Admiral. But the rest of them. No,
those dudes aren't, like, just because they're tatted up and everything.
That has nothing to do with being tatted up.
I don't think they're.
I'm not saying they're anything
they're
like that.
They're kind of nerdy too, man. Like,
yeah, but I mean, they're the tough
ones. If we
nerds.
had Bruce Pearl and his gang on the court and that whole thing
give
had
me
went
our,
down.
Give me Pearl's five best of.
Dude, it would have been ugly. Like, I'm not even kidding. I'm not trying to joke around here. Like, it would have been Malice at the Palace ugly because those people hate us so badly. Think about all the Tennessee fans listening to this. They all hate Memphis basketball. You hate Memphis. All right. Think about how much you hate Memphis and then realize that they probably hate us more than we hate them. I know that's hard to comprehend, but it's probably true. So think about if we had Bruce Pearl, who never found a fire that he couldn't dump a bucket of gasoline onto, and then, like, our guys who actually weren't nerds, who actually were
tough
street guy. Tough, like, who would actually throw down at the drop of a dime. Like
C.J. Watson.
Like, it could have gotten ugly, dude. It could have gotten – I'm not kidding. Like, it could have gotten out of hand, like, people getting hurt, like, black eye for college basketball ugly.
Yeah,
we're probably lucky that
Penny would be lucky if he didn't, you know, get pulverized.
No, I'm not even going to say that like threateningly. Like, it would have been bad for us.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
It would have been bad for us because, like, our guys would have been – I mean, it would have been
– fighting their way out of an arena.
Yeah, it would have been like 15 dudes against 20,000 people.
Yeah.
Like, somebody would have gotten hurt.
We had some truly tough guys that would have liked our chances.
The Queen has lost control of Buckingham Palace, according to Royal Insiders. Have you seen this?
Yeah, is this where her boy Andy's gotten caught up in that whole Jeffrey Epstein thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His ex-wife will forever be linked to the night when Gruden mania reached its peak.
Royal expert Nicholas Witchell made the claim following the intense backlash to Prince Andrew's interview with Emily Maitlis. Witchell told BBC News that interview was proof that the broader situation in Buckingham Palace is unraveling. The BBC's royal commentator said, quote, try and do a British accent here.
Do the Liverpool.
They would have advised, if their advice was sought, not to do it. The Queen was informed, but she's 93 years old now, and she's not exercising the strong control she had, if she ever did.
Oh, she did.
She's 93, man.
Yeah.
Oh, Bird's tough, man. She's hanging on. She's been queen for like 50 years, too.
Yeah.
Prince Charles is over here. Like, that dude's old, too. He's like 70 years old. He's like, come on, mum. Kick the bucket.
Ooh.
I want at least 10 years. He wants it. You know he wants at least. It's okay to want your mom to die if you're a prince.
No, it's not.
Easy for you to say.
He wants to be king for at least 10 years or so. She's greedy, man. She should have abdicated a long time ago. She should have abdicated.
She knows her kids.
Well, they don't do anything. It's not like she has any actual power anymore. Let your son
be king. That's not altogether true. Have you done your research?
What power does the queen have?
We do our research. Have you done your research?
Like, if she said, we're going to war with France right now, the military would be like,
France would wave the white flag. They don't dabble
okay,
in military
if she
affairs.
Said, we're picking up, we're going to war with China. I'm tired of the iPhones being made by slave labor. We're going to do something about this. The British Empire shall rise again. We're going to China. We're declaring war. The prime minister, the army, the military, they'd be like, no, she's crazy. We're not going to war with China. She doesn't have any power. Gets up there and waves her hand at
do
a
some
wedding
research.
Every other year. It's worthless. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Trey. Podcast will be up momentarily. That's going to do it for us. Overtime coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6, right here on Fan Run Radio.